there are two questions which will silence any philosopher and any scientist, and they're these. What is life? And secondly, what is death? Two questions that man doesn't have an answer to. What is life and what is death? These are questions that everybody asks at some time or other in their lives. And in this passage, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to both questions. For the Christian, death is a defeated foe because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the answer to life and the answer to death. He is the resurrection and the life, and that's the title of our message today. Let me give you some background. The year is AD 30, and we're in the final few weeks of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is not going to, he's coming to Bethany, and then in a few weeks' time, he's going to be killed. And it's at this point in Jesus' ministry that he chooses to do what many regard as his greatest miracle. John's Gospel is a wonderful gospel. It's written around seven signs or miracles that all point to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, God in human form. And the last and the greatest is the raising up of Lazarus from the grave. And so it's the culmination of John's Gospel and the last and the account of his final public ministry here in Bethany. And there's three parts to our passage that we read today. The first one is this. In the first few verses, we see sickness for the glory of God. Sickness for the glory of God. In the middle part, we see the glorious declaration of the Lord, who says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in the final part of the passage, we go to the graveyard where Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, is raised and comes out to the glory of God. Sickness for the glory of God, the resurrection and the life, and the raising of Lazarus. There are three headings for today. Now, the account opens at a family home at which Jesus was a frequent visitor. Don't know if you have a home. Don't know if you have a house. But for those maybe who are thinking of buying a house, some young ones here, make sure that Jesus is invited into your home. He was invited into this home regularly. He came to stay there. And we read that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, Jesus is not there when Lazarus becomes very ill. And his sisters send a message to Jesus, who's about 20 or 30 miles away at a place called Bethabara, beyond the Jordan. So it's quite some distance. And the message is very simple. It's in verse 3. Lord, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus hears it, he gives an answer to that request. This sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Point number one, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly what would happen. He knew that Lazarus would die. He knew that they would be sad. He knew that he would go, and he knew that Lazarus would be raised again from the grave. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And of course, that's exactly what happens, but not in the way that anyone could have expected. So the messenger arrives home. This sickness is not unto death, but Lazarus has already died by the time he gets back. And the sisters are devastated. And then Jesus deliberately delays another 2 days, and during which time Lazarus is buried. And they see the stone go over the cave. And their brother, who they love, is behind that stone, and he's dead. It's one day and Jesus didn't come. It's another day and Jesus didn't come. It's another day and Jesus didn't come. And their grief is great. He didn't heal Lazarus. He didn't even come. And 3 days later, and he's still not there. Now, here's a happy family of Christ's followers. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are all happy followers of Jesus. Yet, tragedy strikes. And you see death, the unwelcome intruder into their home, breaks in and takes one of them away. We've read at other times how Jesus healed some people with a word. Remember the nobleman's son in Cana? Jesus just said, "Go your way, your son lives." And the same hour, he was alive. The sisters would have known of that miracle. And perhaps they were expecting Jesus to do something like that. Even though he wasn't there, they were expecting a miracle straight away. Or at least that the Lord would come. And he didn't come. So, point number one, that tragedy strikes even to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, Christ doesn't always act in the way that we think he should. He could have healed Lazarus with a word, but he didn't, because he had lessons to teach them and to teach us. He's not just into the business of raising the dead. He's into the business of raising our faith to see who he is, to appreciate his greatness and his glory, and to so lift all of his church to greater things. Now, the sisters didn't trust his word, did they? When the messenger got back, "This sickness is not unto death," and Lazarus had died, and Jesus said it wasn't going to be to death, and they had a choice, and their eyes and what they'd done to put Lazarus buried, they couldn't believe what Jesus said. And yet, that is exactly what happened. The word of Jesus was fulfilled. And we sometimes don't understand all that God is doing. Perhaps I'm talking here to someone who has a sickness. And maybe you've had the verdict from the doctor or whatever. And humanly speaking, your days are not going to be as long as they should have been. And you know, the word that's shared with Mary and Martha is the same for you. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that he may be glorified thereby. Their responsibility was to trust in the word of Jesus, and they didn't do it. They lost heart. So, third point, is that everyone has a time to die. No one knows when it is. Lazarus was suddenly taken away. It appears it was all over very quickly, and he was buried, and he was dead, and he was gone. And you know, none of us know the time we are to die. From the moment that we are born, life's only certainty is that we will die one day. It's true. Think about it. And the only answer is in the pages of this book, and the one with whom we have to do. The Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is your resurrection and life, if you will believe upon him. So they then, after a few days' delay, Jesus says, "Well, we're going to go. And the disciples are a bit shocked. And they said, "Why, you can't go there, Rabbi. The Jews were trying to kill you. They sought to stone you if anyone goes down there." But Jesus says, "Well, there are 12 hours in the day. Everyone has a time to die. And my time is not yet." And that's comforting, you know. Maybe some of us work in difficult situations. Maybe some of us are in problem situations. But, you know, the issue is this. No one dies until God says it's their time to die. Jesus said this. There are 12 hours in the day. He knew that it wasn't yet his time to go. And that's a great comfort for us as well. God is sovereign even over our time when we die. So Thomas says, "Let's go also that we may die with him." He shows his nature there in verse 16. He's the despondent. He's the doubter. I don't know if there's any Thomases here today. I was converted through Thomas because someone shared with me how Thomas wouldn't believe in Jesus till he touched him. And Jesus went specially to Thomas and said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And I knew there and then I needed to be one who believed in Jesus, even though I hadn't seen him. So I've got a lot to thank Thomas for. But you know, Thomas was more despondent and doubting than the other disciples. What does that teach us? Whatever you're like, whatever your temperament, the Lord can use you in his team. And Thomas, although the doubter and the despondent, went on to become the devoted. We read of Thomas that he gave his life in the, he was the apostle who took the gospel to India and brought the gospel there in the first century and died as a witness out there. That's what the Indian church tell us in South India. So Thomas, the doubter, let's go also that we may die with him. And they make the 2 days journey to Bethany, and Jesus arrives, and it's now 4 days since Lazarus has been put in the grave. Martha goes to meet him straight away. What does she say? Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you'd been here. Verse 21. If only you'd done what we wanted to, Lord, my brother would not have died. There's love. She calls him Lord. There's faith. If you had been here. But there's also disappointment. Why didn't you do it our way when we wanted it to happen? Do we see ourselves here sometimes? We love the Lord. We believe in him. But we want him to do it our way. And often he doesn't choose to do it our way, does he? There's disappointment. Why didn't you come sooner? And here's why. Verse 22. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. You see, Martha has a view of the Lord Jesus Christ that's loving. She believes in him, but it's not high enough. Martha has some lessons to learn about Jesus Christ. You see, when Elijah showed up and the widow's son had died, Elijah was able to raise the son from the grave and, from the bed in which he was lying. And Martha seems to want Jesus to act like one of the prophets in the Old Testament. But Jesus has to teach Martha that he's far greater than Elijah or Moses or any of the prophets in the Old Testament. Her view of him is too low. And she has to learn that Jesus is much greater than this. He has a lesson to teach. And so he has to teach her that he is the resurrection and the life. He says, your brother will rise again. She says, well, I know he'll rise at the last day. But Jesus says, when I am here, I am the resurrection. I am the one who raises people at the last day. So when I am here, there can be a resurrection now. That's the lesson that Martha has to learn. Question. How big is your view of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you regard him? John wants us to see that here is the one who created heaven and earth. His first miracle in the gospel is a creation miracle. When the creator comes to the wedding and there's no wine, he makes some wine just like that. And now John wants us to see the last miracle in his gospel. He wants us to see the last public miracle. Here is the creator, the Lord of life and death, who can call from dead atoms living life once again and cause Lazarus to be raised again from the grave. And of course, one day when Jesus comes back, we will hear a loud voice and all of the dead will be raised at the voice of Christ. And we stand before him. That will be the last day, the day of judgment. You and I will be raised at the voice of Christ. Here he gives a picture of what will happen on that day. Lazarus then, dead 4 days. Martha needs to learn who Jesus is. She had a real regard for Christ, but her faith needed to go to the next level. Am I speaking to someone today? And you have a real regard for Christ. If you were asked, you would say, yes, I do respect him. I do believe in him. I do have faith in him. But is he your personal friend and saviour? Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, is he your saviour today in that real, heartfelt way? Is he inside of your life by his Spirit? Have you really repented and trusted in him personally, and you know for sure that he's yours? Because he can be. And what Jesus did for Martha through these difficult circumstances, he can and he will do for you if you will come to him and you will trust him today. That's the message that we learn from Martha. This in some ways was all done for Martha's sake. This lovely lady who believed in Jesus and welcomed Jesus into her home, but really didn't appreciate who fully he was. Jesus shows himself in a wonderful way to Martha. And I wonder, is there a Martha here today who needs to come right through for the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the day when you can come and know him and taste him and believe in him and come to him fully. How big is your view of Jesus? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Three parts. Jesus is the resurrection in a person. When a man is sick, or he doesn't need a medical dictionary, he needs a doctor. And when a person is dead, they need a resurrection. And Jesus is the resurrection. I am. This is the present tense. Martha said he'll rise at the last day. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I'm it. What's going to happen at the last day? It's here now. We can do this now. I am here. Where I am, death is defeated. Resurrection is personal. The resurrection is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, before Martha is the one who gave us all life, and the one who sustains all life, and the one who takes life, and the one who gives it back again. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this, Martha? And she looks him in the eye and she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Can I ask you the same question that Jesus asked Martha? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe this? Martha said, yes, Lord. She believed. So then we come to the graveyard in Bethany. Every village and town and city has its graveyard, doesn't it? When the town planners plan a new village, a new town, they plan for where the graveyard is going to go. And every human society knows what it is to bury their dead and to weep. The great difference between every human and every animal. No animal buries its dead. Every human society does that. And we come to this little village just over the Mount of Olives. In a few days' time, Jesus is going to come over that mountain and he's going to come to Jerusalem and he's going to die on the cross for our sins. But there is an appointment in the graveyard that he wants to keep. And we come to the graveyard of this little village just outside Jerusalem. We see three things. We see the humanity of Jesus Christ. Did you notice how he wept? How he groaned? And in the presence of death and with the sadness of all those around him, those people that he loved who lost a loved one, Jesus himself wept real tears. That shows he's a human. He's fully man. He knows what we go through when we grieve. He has suffered more than tongue can tell. And he can sympathize with every sorrow that you face. Some may have lost a loved one recently. Some may have lost a child in childbirth. Some may have lost someone unexpectedly. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as fully man, can come alongside. And he weeps with you. Real tears. the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shortest verse in the English Bible, one that moved me to tears the first time I read it. Jesus wept. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise him from the grave, but he still wept when he came to the sorrows of his people there. We read that the Duke of Wellington, the Iron Duke, after he had conquered Napoleon at the Battle of Wellington, the English commander at Waterloo, and as they read through the list of casualties, he wept. He'd lost so many of his good men. And you know, the Bible commends compassion and sympathy. Our Lord, perfectly compassionate, wonderfully sympathetic. Weep with those who weep, Jesus did, and so should we. It's not wrong to weep. It's a good thing when someone's died. And we see Jesus' love. They see that, don't they, in verse 36. See how he loved him. When we weep with people and when we weep for people, people see that we love them and we care for them. See how he loved them. There was love arrests the attention of the world. We should be those who love others and weep with them. And there's unbelief. Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, have kept this man from dying? And then we see the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is fully man, who wept at the graveside of his friend, is now going to show himself strong and mighty in the face of death. And he's going to raise his friend from the grave. Jesus groaning in himself. Death is the intruder. Death is the enemy. Death was never part of God's original plan for this planet. Death was never there from the beginning, as we're told to believe. Death is an enemy. And Jesus is going to face this enemy, and he's going to face it down. And he comes to the tomb, and it's a clear sign and proof that Jesus is the resurrection, because he's able to give the resurrection to Lazarus there and then. It's proof that Jesus is God. No one else has done this. No other religious leader, no other great teacher in history stand at the grave and cause a dead man to come out publicly, a man who'd been dead and decomposing for 4 days. It was a miracle that couldn't be faked. These caves had no back entrance. These caves were sealed. Once someone was in there, it was difficult to get them out. They had a big stone to move away. That was the most difficult part of the operation, for the people to move away the stone. They had to do it to know for sure that this was not fixed or faked. It would be unforgettable by all. And then we see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. With a loud voice, with the shout, "Lazarus, come forth." Can you imagine the hush that descended on that crowd as every eye was fixed upon the darkness of that grave? Can you imagine the gasp as suddenly through the gloom they hear movement and they see Lazarus come staggering out of that grave? Staggering not because he's alive, but because he's all bound up. Can you imagine what they thought? Can you imagine the gasp and the shock? "Lazarus, come out." And he does. And when the Lord raised Lazarus, he did it on his own authority, at his own command. Jesus Christ commanded that Lazarus would come out. You see, Jesus Christ has the keys to hell and to death. Only he can do this. And when you come to the Lord Jesus and trust him as Martha did, and I want you to do that today, and I'm going to urge you and ask you to do that today if you've never done it before, you are coming to the one who has the authority, all authority in heaven and in earth. You're coming to him. As he says, "Lazarus, come out." He commands us, he urges us, he invites us to come to him, and we're coming to the one who has all power. When we go in his name to preach in the precinct or whatever it is, we're going on command of the one who has all power in heaven and on earth. What else do we learn from this parable, this account, this true account? The raising of Lazarus is a parable, is a picture and a guarantee of two things. Firstly, he who raised Lazarus in a couple of weeks' time is going to raise himself from a very, very similar grave, not 2 miles away, the grave of Jesus Christ. He's going to be there and he's going to raise himself. It's a guarantee, it's a picture that he would raise himself. And it's a guarantee and a picture that he will raise you and me from the grave. Just like he was able to raise Lazarus, he is able to raise all of his believing people. You see, when you're converted, it's not just that your sins are forgiven. It's not just that you have the righteousness of Christ and you live in a sinful body and that's the end of it. No. His death, his salvation, he's going to get your body as well. He's going to raise it from the grave, but it's going to be transformed, resurrected, and sinless, just like him. That's how big our salvation is. It's not just going to heaven when you die, wonderful though that is. It's going to have a resurrected body for all eternity, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the raising of Lazarus is a picture and a guarantee of the resurrection of every believer. Lazarus is all of us if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was raised by the word of Christ, so will we be. With one difference, Lazarus was raised a few years later, we don't know how long, he died again. When Jesus comes back, for his believing people, for his church, we will be raised never more to die. We'll be like him. His resurrection is like ours. We'll be like Christ and we'll be with him forever. Such is his victory. He shares the victory with all his believing people. I said before that all will rise. All will rise. Some will rise to eternal life with Christ forever with the Lord. Others will rise to face God in judgment. They've rejected God in this life. They've not believed in him as they should. They've not done as they should. They will be resurrected to face judgment. There is an eternal life. There is an eternal death in the place that the Bible calls hell. Jesus spoke of both of them. The meaning of this passage is that we might believe in him and have eternal life. Today, everyone in this room either has eternal life or we don't. We either face heaven forever with the Lord or we face hell forever without him. Ladies and gentlemen, these are serious things. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth point from this wonderful passage is this. You will see them again. Some of you have loved ones. Mary and Martha didn't think they would see Lazarus again. But when Jesus showed up, the stone went and they met their loved one in the presence of Jesus. Some of you have lost loved ones. You'll see them again when Jesus comes. They'll be with him. You'll be with him. Resurrected together forever with the Lord. What was the reaction to this miracle? Verse 45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed on him. Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed on him. Is that you today? Will you come to Jesus, see the things that he has done in the word, clearly written down for us by people who were there? This is eyewitness stuff. John, the disciple, was standing there. He saw it. He watched it. He wrote it. Why? So that you and I can believe and we can have that assurance, sins forgiven and eternal life through him who said, I am the resurrection.